of the source of election. You remember last week, I talked about the beginning of the decree. We're talking about, in particular, the decree of election. The beginning of the decree, the substance of the decree, and the end of the decree. The beginning of the decree was what? Anybody know it? The will of God. I'm not up here just preaching a sermon. I'm hoping somebody is getting this. The beginning is the will of God. What's the substance? It is the perfections of God being made manifest. God willed to choose to manifest the glory of His grace and compassion. And what is the end of the decree? That is the decree of election. That is God's glory. As a matter of fact, Scripture kind of put it this way. It is to the praise of the glory of His grace. So again, let me reiterate. The source of the election then is God. That's true, but that's a very general statement. Because even the Arminians believe that. They just believe God chose a plan, not a people.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay? A bona fide Arminian. Now, you have some people who are Arminian, but they're not even bona fide Arminian. They're idiots. They've not even studied the Arminian theology. Right. It's like one person said to me, I believe God chose everybody. The Arminians don't believe that.
No.
You know? Somebody that believes God chose everybody, they are truly spiritually ignorant. And one of my own kinfolk said that to me. And that pains me to say that. But that person evidently knows nothing about God.
Exactly.
That God chose everybody? I mean, even they have heard the devil gets a choice, God gets a choice, and you make the deciding choice. And then to turn around and say, God chose everybody. Book never even, David, it don't even hint at that.
Exactly.
No, God Almighty chose certain people to manifest His own perfections. And let me tell you, and this is not the election, this is the reprobation, God rejected certain people to also manifest His perfections. That's His justice and His wrath and His punishment.
Yes,
you see, God is pleased to punish somebody.
Yes, sir.
It's not that God was forced to punish somebody because some wouldn't do what He wanted. That's the way most people teach.
Oh, yeah.
But we know what Paul says. What if God, willing to show His wrath and to make His power known, God wants to damn some folk?
That's it.
Is that clear enough? God is willing to damn some folk, and He's going to do it.
Yes,
it
sir.
Says that He shall send them what? Strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned.
Amen.
You see, the thing about it is, that's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yes, sir.
Now, it may not be the God of religion. It may not even be the God of my own religious mind, but it's the God of this book. When it comes to the beginning of the decree, it is the will of God. Let us remember that. The source of election is not simply God, it's the will of God. Now think about it. Let me just give you two things concerning God and His will. There's a whole lot there. I mean, for instance, you know, everybody, you probably heard this. People talk about, are you in the will of God? If somebody asks you that question, you have reason to be suspect to that person. Because there is not an individual, there is not a thing, there is not a creature, there's not an inanimate or animate object in this world that's not within the will of God.
Amen.
Satan himself is subject to the will of God.
Yes,
the
sir.
Demons themselves can't even spit. And I don't even know if they do. But if they do, they can't unless God Almighty gives them say-so.
Exactly.
I mean, I was reminded of this morning, going to Fayetteville this morning and hearing a preacher preach. He said the demons even had to beg the Lord Jesus to go into a herd of swine.
That's right.
And people got this idea like demons go around just jumping on whoever they want and like they're little gods running around.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you something. Everything in this world is under the sovereign will of God. Period.
Yes, sir.
The will of God is not a separate thing from God. Nor is the will of God just another part of God. The will of God is the essence of God in activity. That's what it is. The will of God is the very essence of God. It is what, and I can't say makes God, that's the wrong word, because God is not made God. God is God. He is the I Am. But the will of God is what manifests to man the very essence of who God is. His will is absolutely sovereign. He may let me think I'm one of His elect, and then in the end say, oh, sorry, old boy, you're not. You've been deceived this whole time.
Yeah, that's it.
Some people will think they're going to make it in.
Yes, sir. Exactly.
They're going to expect to get in. Yeah. And they ain't going to be let in.
That's right.
And again, I say, that's scary. You blessed well right, it's scary. Yeah. Somebody says, what is my proof? I have no proof other than faith. All I can do is believe God and trust that I am one of His. Because again, I say the will of God is the essence of God in activity without fluctuation or change.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that what James 1:17 says? Every good gift, this is James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Now somebody says, what's the difference between a good and a perfect gift? Good ones are the ones we like. The perfect ones are the ones we're going to get whether we like them or not. Simple enough explanation. It's put in word. Now, I don't know that that's the whole explanation to the difference between the good and the... But there is a difference, right? And good things are all right. But see, perfect, we don't even know what perfect is.
Exactly.
If we had perfect, it would scare us to death. You know, every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Not even the shadow of turning.
Amen.
And you know this one, Malachi 3:6, I'm not going to turn to it. I am the Lord, I change not. Else ye sons of Jacob would be consumed.
Amen.
I mean, you would be. Now, are they going to be? No. But God said, if I did change, I'd wipe you out.
Exactly.
So it's not just... Now, wait a minute. It's not just God's love, is it? God willed not to wipe them out, or He would have wiped them out.
Amen.
Right? It wasn't God said, well, I love them, so I got to save them. No, it's God said, I'm going to save them. And I'm going to will to love them. And I will to show them grace.
Yes, sir.
Because if not, you know, if God did change, there'd be no one saved.
That's right.
There'd be no one saved. Now think about this. Numbers chapter 23. Now I've got to turn to that one because I can't quote it. It's actually just one verse. But there's a little more here, but remember I said the will of God is not some separate thing from God, nor is it just another part of God. The will of God is the essence of God in activity without fluctuation or change. That's the only way we know what the will of God is, other than it being directly revealed. This is my will. But we know what the will of God is when we see it happen.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? When you see something happen in this world, I don't care what it is, that was the will of God.
That's right.
Now, it may be to my justification in Christ, or it may be to my damnation in myself. It's according to whether God has chosen me or whether He's rejected me. But everything we see happen, we can say without worry, that was the will of God. But what we better beware of saying is this is going to happen because I know it's the will of God. Unless it's directly stated in the book, that's going to happen, and that is therefore the will of God. I know I have a lot of ideas. I know there are a lot of things I want to be the will of God.
Oh,
But that may not be true.
Exactly.
It may not be true. But here's something that's true. Numbers 23. And here's the weird thing. This is a man called Balaam.
Yeah.
Now let me stop before I even read this. And I may not get a whole lot further, but that's okay too. Let me ask you the question. What's the difference between Balaam and Lot? Balaam preached for a little bit of money.
Yeah.
Lot slept with these two daughters and had kids by.
Yeah. Exactly.
Huh? What about that?
Yeah.
Which one is more palatable to your taste? If you had to pick one of those two, where would you go?
Yeah.
Huh? Now you know where most of us would go. Well, I'd say a few words for God. Gets, huh? Come on, right? People do that all the time.
Yeah.
What is the difference between Balaam and Lot? God chose one and God rejected the other.
That's it.
That's the only difference between those two men.
Yeah.
You know? That's why one of them is called a righteous man, the other is called an apostate. And I heard a fellow say one time, they were talking, we just had a big meeting. It wasn't after I met you folks, it was before that. They just had, they liked to have the camp meetings. We never camped, but we had camp meetings.
Yeah.
You know, we come up with all these lights on the world. Revival, they have revivals, and nobody's ever revived.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Or we have conferences. Nobody ever confers, we just sit and listen to somebody else preach.
Yeah.
Right? A conference is a conference, right? It's not a come hear somebody preach message. We're having a conference, but we never conferred. Anyway, I heard a fellow say we had one of those camp meetings, and they were already, it was just a few weeks after that, they were already planning next year's camp meeting message.
Yeah.
Now you know why, don't you? That's pride. They wanted to put on a show for the camp meeting. They had a whole year to prepare this show they're going to put on at the camp meeting. And this ain't hearsay. I'm right there in the group, folks.
Yeah.
I'm there. And I hear one preacher say, well, I'd like to maybe preach on that old backslidden preacher, Balaam. And even then, I didn't even know the truth, David, then. But I thought to myself, now, wait a minute. Balaam wasn't backslidden. Balaam is an apostate.
Exactly.
Now, listen to what Balaam said. Numbers 23, verse 8. How can I curse whom God hath not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defiled? Defy whom the Lord hath not defied. You know something? Balaam knew more about God's sovereignty than the average church member today.
Yes, sir.
Didn't he?
Yes, sir.
He even asked God for the permission to do what he did wrong. That God later condemned him for and declared him to be an apostate for.
Yep.
Didn't he?
Yes, sir.
And part of what he was going to do, God stopped him.
Yep.
Because it says God forbade the madness of the prophet, right?
Yes, sir.
But what's amazing to me is Balaam knew this.
Yep.
Didn't he? But he still wanted Balak's money.
Yes, sir.
Didn't he?
That's right.
He still wanted Balak's money. He knew that legally, or I should say judicially, or as far as God's opinion of Israel, he could not change that.
That's right.
But he could affect Israel's opinion of God. He could affect Israel's thoughts about God or their actions, and that's what he did. That's what Balaam ended up doing. But he didn't end up cursing God's people. He ended up damning himself.
That's right.
But then let's go on. You can read that. But then look again. Verse 18. And he took up this parable and said, rise up, Balak, and hear. Hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. You remember what Paul said about this? The gifts and calling of God, in Romans 11, are without repentance.
Yes, sir.
That word can throw a slight bad connotation. It's not bad, but it's actually the gifts and calling of God are without change.
Amen.
God purposed to bless the Jews as a nation, and bless God he will.
Yeah.
right here you see this decreed, even through Balaam. And let me tell you, God ain't done with it because it's without change.
Yes, sir.
And here's the whole point. If God's pleased to bless me, he will. If he has to chasten me to do it.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. That's it. If he has to kill me to do it.
Yes, sir.
See, this is what is amazing. You got people who profess to know the sovereign God, and then they say, well, then whatever I do is okay. See, the thing about it is, God may kill you. You know what? Maybe he won't kill you for it. Maybe he'll let you live.
That's right.
Yeah. You like to act a certain way? You like to live a certain way? He may let us have the fruit of that.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
That's it. I
mean, I hear stuff like this, not all the time. But what do you think about people take drugs? Because I'm around people, you know, that are in jail. They're locked up for drugs. Can they really be a child of God? And I said, well, sure they can. But you keep stuffing that stuff up your snoz and breathing it into your brain, and he may eat your sinuses out, and you may end up with cancer of the brain or something. How do I know?
Exactly.
Now, if that's the way you want to live, bless God, you go right ahead. Right?
Yeah.
The same thing goes with everything in life, exactly. Including food.
Yeah.
Now, you do realize food can kill you.
Yes, sir.
Right? Food can kill you. But you got to also remember, you're going to die.
Yes, sir.
And you're going to die, I'm going to die the way God Almighty ordained for me to die.
Yeah.
If I think that somehow I can avoid it, you see, this is what, be not deceived, God is not mocked.
Amen.
Whatsoever a man sows, that may he reap. I mean, what it says, that he will reap if he don't confess it. See, the problem is, if I live a certain way, I can confess it and be forgiven of it, but God may still. He will still cause me to reap what I've sown.
Yes, sir.
And that's what religion ain't teaching people.
Exactly.
You just ask God to forgive you. Everything's going to be okay. He casts it, yeah, as far as forgiveness, because the actual punishment for sin is for you to die for that sin.
Exactly.
Joe done said it.
That's it.
But, and this is something some of us knows about. You go out and drink too much and you get in an automobile and you drive, God may let you kill somebody.
That's right.
A little kid. And then you know what? You can cry for forgiveness all day long.
Yeah.
You may get it. But David, that don't mean he's going to let you forget the night, have to get rid of the nightmares that you have at night. Right?
That's right.
You go out here and lay down with every man or every woman coming and going. Does that mean you can't be one of God's? No, that don't mean you can't be one of God's. But I tell you what, everyone will reap what they sow.
That's it.
You know?
That's it.
Because, now let me just give you this one. Let me turn to it. Isaiah chapter 46. Now before I even read that, let's remember, you know, Balaam did tempt the Israelites, and they went after strange women. And you know what? Strange women became a thorn in the side of Israel, David, from the whole time they were in the land.
Right.
Look at it. Isaiah 46, and this is familiar. There's no new passage. It's verse 10. This is about God. God declares the end from the beginning. See that?
Amen.
Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand.
Amen.
And I will do all my pleasure. So if God is pleased to do something, it what?
Amen.
It will be done. Right?
Amen.
Then notice what it says. Calling. Now, everybody likes calling, you know. Arminians talk about calling. Calvinists talk about calling. But here it says, calling a ravenous bird from the east. And you know what he's talking about? He's talking about that king he's going to call.
Yeah.
That heathen king who will never, ever even come to know God as he is, yet he's going to call that king to do his work.
Yes, sir.
calling this man from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it, I will bring it to pass. I purposed it, I will also do it. And you remember what Solomon tells us that's true for. Why that's true, rather. So that we might fear before God.
Amen.
Because I cannot make him love me. And if he loves me, I can't make him hate me. Do you know that? The problem is, I can't prove to myself, let alone to you, which side I really am on or not. I heard a fellow say something there again this morning. I never even thought about it. You know, I wonder. Satan knew, because our Lord had even proclaimed so. And our Lord even spoke to the disciples and said, one of you shall betray me.
Yes, sir.
Right? If you ever wondered that, why did Satan ask for Peter?
Yeah.
You know? Kind of makes you wonder if maybe Satan wasn't thinking, well, maybe Peter's the one. Right? Now, a lot of people have this weird idea, like Satan is this, like this, he's the mirror image of God, only the evil excess. And God is the mirror image of Satan, only the good to the excess. Right? And here's these two great powers in struggle. And they actually think like the devil knows everything. And is everywhere. Because you can listen, you can get you a TV and turn on two different preachers, and they'll be talking at the same time, and both of them talk about the devil being right there trying to attack them.
Yeah.
And the devil's not omnipresent.
Exactly.
He cannot be everywhere all the time.
Exactly.
So I just wonder, even the devil didn't get that Judas was the one, did he?
Yeah.
He may have thought Peter was the one. But see, here was Peter's hope. Not that Peter, you're going to do so great. And it ain't the point, was it? Satan's desired you that he may sift you as wheat. And let me tell you something, I don't want to go where Peter went.
No, sir.
Do you? I don't want to be in the midst of the enemy quivering and like some little sissy in front of a little maiden girl.
Yeah.
I don't know the blankety blank so and so.
Yeah.
Huh? It says he cursed and swore. I don't know that man.
Yeah.
And that was before that little servant girl. But you know what? If God Almighty's pleased to take me there, he'll take me there.
Yes, sir.
You know that? He'll take me there.
Right.
But here was Peter's hope. Peter, I prayed for you. You hear what it says?
Yes.
That your faith fail not.
Amen.
And I've heard people say, well, Peter, God restored Peter's faith. That's not what it says.
Ooh.
Peter failed miserably.
Yes,
but Peter's faith did not fail.
Amen.
When Peter said, I don't know the so-and-so, he really did.
Exactly. That's it.
He really did.
Yes, sir.
He just denied that before those people.
Yes.
It's one thing to do something and not realize you're doing it.
Yeah.
You know what? It's another thing to know you're doing it and do it anyway. You understand what I'm saying? The guilt of conscience, Mason, has to be far more in a case like that. When you know, I know who he is, and then turn around to nine.
Exactly.
But what we got to remember, God's counsel shall stand. And Satan said, give me Peter. And God said, okay. But you can't touch his faith.
That's right.
You know, right?
That's it.
It had to be, we're not told that. But it had to be the same, it had to be similar with the same thing God did with Job.
Yes, sir.
And the weird thing, or not weird, but the odd thing, well, whatever word. The thing about Job's case is it wasn't Satan who come asking for Job. It was actually God that brought up Job.
Yes, sir.
Now it says Satan came and asked for Peter.
Yeah.
It doesn't say Satan came and asked for Job. As a matter of fact, he's basically, Satan's first response was, no, I'm not wasting my time. You got a hedge about him. I can't touch him.
Exactly.
You know? Satan understands the sovereignty of God more than men do.
Yes, sir.
You know?
That's right.
Satan wasn't created in his image, and we were. And yet he knows more about the sovereignty of God than we do.
Exactly.
You know, apart from his grace. Now again, let me get ready to wind this down here. The will of God is not a separate thing from God, nor is it just another part of God. The will of God is the essence of God in activity, without fluctuation, and without change. God has willed or purposed. Some people use the word plan. It's okay, but it's not a strong word. But God Almighty has purposed everything that will ever happen. And that's how God manifests His sovereignty. By purposing the end from the beginning. And controlling all the middle.
Yes, sir.
Now here's one more. And you know this. It's nothing new. The will of God is absolutely free. The will of God is absolutely free. The will of God is uninfluenced or controlled by anything outside of itself.
Yes.
And what I'm trying to point out is God's will is not controlled by His love.
Exactly.
That's the way we are after the fall. Well, yeah. There are certain things we love, because it says, whose heart made Him willing. That's what the Old Testament says.
Yeah.
The heart controls the will. And our heart is what? Desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it?
Amen.
And we love what? Darkness rather than light.
Amen.
So that means my love of darkness controls me.
Yes, sir.
Right? God's love doesn't control Him. He controls it. He loves, what does He say? Whom I will.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Right?
That's it.
You see, there are certain people I love, I can't help it. Yeah. Providence has put me with these people and I can't help it.
Yeah.
Right?
That's it.
But sadly, that love is human love.
Yeah.
It can be affected. But I'm serious. And I probably, had I been given the choice, I'd have said, no, I won't pick that one. And the only reason I say I like that one is because I'm already there and I already love them to start with. I can't do nothing about it. God Almighty loves by will.
Yes, sir.
God Almighty shows grace by will. God Almighty shows compassion by will.
That's right.
So again, I say, when it comes to the will of God, God has the only will that is absolutely sovereign.
Yes, sir.
My will is not sovereign. That's the only way you can have a free will.
Exactly.
I've said this before. Now, you see, I don't even believe that Adam's will was free. It wasn't free. Because if his will was free, he could have eaten any tree.
That's right.
Right?
Yes, sir.
I don't believe Adam's will was free. God Almighty purposed that fall because Christ was already as a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Adam was going to fall and there was nothing he could have done contrary to that. Somebody says that makes God not the author of sin. That makes you an idiot for suggesting it. I don't care whether you... That makes you an idiot for suggesting it. And as old Jim McLarty said, if you don't understand God's sovereign, you're insane.
Yeah.
He said, because it wasn't until Nebuchadnezzar got back in his right mind, and then what did he do? He recognized God's sovereignty.
Exactly.
So if you don't know God's sovereign, you're insane.
Yeah.
You can't read this book and not be insane, unless you're insane and not know God Almighty's sovereign. Well, this says, in the beginning, God made everything after His own kind, and He done it according to His own will. And man is, and this is another quote from Jim, man is so sinful we don't know how sinful we really are.
Exactly.
You know, that's how bad we are. We don't know how bad we are.
Exactly.
And here's the verses, Romans 9, let me say it. The will of God is absolutely sovereign. And it's, you know, guess which chapter to turn to?
Yeah.
Romans chapter 9. But it is the very passage to where Paul is moved by the Spirit to even anticipate the objection of the natural man against the sovereignty of God.
Yes, sir.
If God's sovereign and everyone is within the will of God, how can God still find man at fault? And Paul doesn't give some rational argument. He basically says to shut up and quit replying against God. He's the potter. You're just a lump of clay, like we're all just a lump of clay, and he makes us the way he wants us. To shut up now. He didn't give any rational argument or nothing. But here, look at it. God's will is absolutely sovereign. Verse 15, for he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth. Now that's not talking about God, that's talking about man.
Yeah.
So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that it runneth, but of God that showeth mercy.
Yeah.
And what is it? I will. You see?
Yeah.
I will have mercy. It's not, okay, there are people that I've got to have mercy on, right? I will to have mercy on them. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. Next two verses. Therefore, verse 18. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he what? Will. And notice it just says will. The emphasis is on the will. See the have mercy? Notice that, how that's in italics? It don't belong there. It doesn't destroy it. But the emphasis is not he will have mercy on whom we have mercy. The emphasis, he will have mercy on whom he will. You see it? Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will, and whom he will, he does the other side too, right? He does what? He hardeneth. Now what is amazing, when I first met you folks, I didn't believe that. I tried to soft pedal that. I tried to say things like, well, God don't really do it, he just turns us over to ourselves. Well, if he turned me over to myself, who knows what would happen? You know? No, it says, whom he will, he hardens.
Amen.
And Paul knows, here's the, man's going to object, because man hates this.
Exactly.
Man don't hate election as long as God chose me for me being somebody.
Yeah.
If God chose me because I was somebody, because I'm at least better than this one, therefore, God chose me over that one, that'd be okay. We do that all the time, don't we? We pick out certain jobs because we like it better than another one, if we're allowed to, right? And if we could, once we find out what our kids like, we'd have picked out different ones. You didn't get much out of that, did you? Huh? You just don't want to admit that in public, do you? And if you ain't seen that yet, your kids ain't old enough yet. That's right, they just ain't old enough yet. If you think your kids is any better than any of the rest of the kids, you're an idiot. They're going to embarrass you one of these days. And it'll be okay, Sasha. Every one of us did too. We embarrassed our parents too.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Every blessed one of us did.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe by being the goody two-shoes.
Yeah.
Probably scared the daylight. They're too blessed good. They never get in trouble. When they get married, their world's going to blow apart. Right? I'm serious. I had one that I thought, man, mature. She's going to hear this tape. And one of them's going to wonder which one they're talking about, you know. And you know what? Next thing you know, the world goes, pew, blows all apart.
Yeah.
You see, God's will is absolutely free in the election, in accord with the good pleasure of God's will. God chose me because he loved me. But he loved me because he willed to love me. And folks, I guess I have to take my place in that number. And there have been people that criticized Whitfield for it. And some others. They said, well, you believe in double predestination. Well, I don't care if you claim I believe in quadruple predestination. I really don't give a hoot. We are not required to justify God's sovereign will.
Exactly.
We are told to bow to it.
Amen.
Well, the thing about it is, we're going to do it. See, God gives us the illusion that we think we're doing our thing.
Oh, yeah.
See, I'm going to do that. I'm not going to not do that because I want to do this. And all along, we don't realize we're doing what God Almighty will for us to do anyway.
That's right.
And all He's doing is giving us the illusion that we think we're making our own choice in life. We're walking our own path. And the thing about it, we're on the path God Almighty put us on.
Yes, sir.
The Jews were. There's not one single Jew that rejected the Messiah that God Almighty didn't ordain that they reject the Messiah.
That's right. Exactly.
And then He has the right to turn right around and damn them for it. Right?
Yes, sir.
That says, that's what Paul, thou wilt say then to me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? And what is Paul's answer? Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Paul is not going to give us some answer to make us feel this or understand this better.
Yeah.
He simply says, this is the way it is. Yes, your very reply is a reply against God. He's the potter. You're the clay. He'll make you whatever way He wants to. And He'll make that one vessel, David. He's going to make, everybody's going to be made into a vessel. You and I, we are being made into a vessel. And He may take that vessel and honor Himself with it.
That's right.
Or He may take that vessel and just take it and then just crush it. Do all this work on it. Form it. Mold it in a certain way and then crush it to show His what? His power. And His wrath.
Yes, sir.
This is, men kind of don't mind that good side. Be nice if He did that for everybody. You see, Mason, if I preached God was going to do this for everybody, and I could find a few passages in the Bible, people would like that. We got universalists. You know, one of our founding fathers used to be one. You better watch out of the faith of our fathers.
Yeah.
You don't want that faith because it's the wrong faith. Somebody says, I don't know nothing about that. Well, you should have studied more in school. You might would know what I was talking about right now. Nay, but old man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter, and what's that next word? Power.
Amen.
Now, there are some passages that men may argue, well, does that mean authority or might? Well, it means both.
Exactly.
It means both here. There is no limitation given here to God.
Exactly.
Right? Hath not the potter, what? Power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and even another. They don't say an even, but that's the point. And another unto dishonor. If God, and that's the way it is to be, if God, willing to show His wrath and to make His power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy which He had afore prepared unto glory. And somebody says, why did God only choose that many? And actually, they were less than the other, the party rejected.
Yeah.
You know why? Because God wanted to. Because God would do a short work.
Yeah.
God willed to have only a remnant and not a majority.
Exactly.
Does the Bible say that? And it actually says that right here.
Yeah.
I just never have read that much. Let's go on down. Look at it. Verse 24. Even us, whom He hath called, not the Jews only, but also the Gentiles, as He saith also in OC, that is Hosea, I will call them My people, which were not My people, and her beloved, which was not beloved.
Yeah.
And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you're not My people, there shall they be called the children of the living God.
Amen.
Isaiah also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For He will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because why? Because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. Now the word here in the Greek is not short as to duration, short as to number. That's what it's talking about. When you take the whole, it's going to be less than the majority. That's what it's all about. Short. And you know what our Lord said? Even our Lord Jesus Christ prayed, Father, I thank you for that.
That's it.
Right? He said, Father, I thank you that you've hid.
Yes.
Now notice what it says.
Yeah.
That you hid these things from the wise and the prudent. You see, if somebody don't know it, I ought not feel all that bad about it. Because God Almighty's hid it from them.
Exactly.
Right? And if he's pleased to reveal it if he's pleased to reveal it to them, I can't stop it.
Exactly.
You know that?
That's right.
If I try, God will bowl me over.
That's right.
He'll move me out of the way.
Yes, sir.
Or he'll change my attitude about the whole matter.
Exactly.
This is just what people just don't get it. You know? Oh, I just wish everybody could be saved. Well, they're not going to be.
Exactly.
Just quit wasting your time. I wish that one there would be saved. They will be. But you know, that's hard to really do. That's hard to practice.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we can sit here, I read these scriptures, I talk about these scriptures, and we can say, amen, that's right. But when we get out there and we deal with people we care about,
yeah,
it's hard to live it, ain't it?
Yes, sir.
It's hard to live it. It's easy to believe it. It's hard to practice it, ain't it? But you know what? God's going to make us practice it whether we like it or not. Because we ain't going to be able to save them no matter what, you know?
Exactly.
He'll do it or it won't be done.
Yes, sir.
Father, I pray that as we gather together and take this table, that we would truly remember thy son. I ask in his name, amen. Joe and Roy Jr., would you come, please? And I run a little over there, so try not to take too much more time.